This is How to Business and Show Business, where we talk about the business of show, the podcast that discusses ways to work smarter, not harder. If you're a performer at the beginning of your career or a student interested in going into the performing arts, this is the podcast for you. For more about the podcast, you can find our website at businessandshowbusiness.com. There you can learn more about the business of performing arts with coursework, videos with shop talk, and interviews with other professional performers. Now here's your host, Corben.
Hello, I'm your host, Corben, and welcome back to another episode of How to Business in Show Business. Before we get started, go ahead and click that subscribe button so you can stay caught up anytime there's a new post. Actors, on this week's episode, we're going to be talking about headshots. And if you're someone who's new to this business, you might be asking yourself, what is a headshot? How much does it cost? Where do I find one? How do I find a photographer? I didn't even know that there was a photographer who took all these questions, this frequently asked questions about headshots. We're going to be diving into that with Sean Turry, who is a New York City-based portrait photographer. He's also an international photographer at that. And he talks about how the one thing that you have control over as an actor in this business, one of the few things that we actually have control over, is a strong headshot. And through this episode, he's going to explain how you go about getting a strong killer headshot, and so that way you get the best bang for your buck. So, without further ado, here's part one with Sean Turry.
Who is Sean Turry?
Sean Turry, I'm a lot of things, but I'm a New York photographer, portrait photographer, with regards to my business. And I've been a headshot photographer for a little over a decade now in New York City. And what I specialize in are people, obviously they're portraits, and primarily most of my work is our headshots in within the entertainment business, actors and lifestyle commercial print with models. So that's what, if you were to ask me, like, what do I specialize in with my work in photography, it would be that. Outside of photography, I enjoy being in the mountains and my family and fitness. That's about everything that makes up my life.
Does the fitness and the outdoors give you a sense of, I guess, distance from showbiz? Does it bring you back to center?
You know, I grew up in the woods in upstate New York with goats and chickens. And that was the last thing I wanted to be around when I was 19. That's when I moved to New York to get into it. And I wanted to get as far away from goats and chickens as I possibly can. I was sick of giving the goats a book of hay in the morning and breaking the frozen 5-gallon bucket. You're from Alaska, right? Yeah. You know the drill. I don't know if you had goats and chickens, but the same. Yeah. When you're in a cold climate, especially with livestock, it's a pain in the ass. So I wanted to go to the city. And now I always joke the best part of New York is leaving it, because it's nice to get out of New York. I've put in a hard 15 years there, and I like being in solitude. Yeah. I like quietness. I like the mountains. Physical fitness, though, and all that, really, I enjoy the mental challenge of it all. How hard you can push yourself, testing your limits mentally more than physically. So that's what I like about it.
All right. Did you, so you left, you paid your dues, as we say, you paid your dues back home, and then you decided to leave. Did you always want to be in the business? And if you always wanted to be in the business, did you know that leaving home was going to get you to that next step?
Yeah. So no, never wanted to be a photographer, never had an interest in photography prior to like 7 days buying the camera. I knew I wanted to move to New York, and I knew I wanted my own business. I always knew that about myself. I was the kid that's had a Kool-Aid stand. I bought a leaf blower and I was like 12, and I'm like, oh, for $100, I can do a house for $10 each. It's lower than the regular market value that everyone else is doing leaf blowing. And it only takes me 10 houses to break even. Like that was my motive. So I knew I wanted to be in a business, and I also knew I liked being in the arts. I originally thought I would either I was doing computer animation, cartooning. So I thought I would want to work for Disney or Pixar or join the Marine Corps, because my family's in the military, you know, I'm from a military family. So it was like two different directions. Yeah. And So I knew I wanted to be in a business, like have my own business. And I moved to New York. I didn't know what the hell I was going to do. I was going to start going to school of visual arts. But then I got a modeling agency that sort of like scouted me on the street. And it wasn't like a big agency, but it got my interest and it sounded exciting. Obviously, I'm like from Hicksville, upstate New York. So I was like, I'm all about this. Like, I wasn't really sure what I was doing with myself at the time. So I moved to New York, put all my energy into that. And then I worked with some small agencies and worked with some really big fashion agencies. And, you know, it was a residual of that working with big fashion agencies. They put you with like act. I did 8 months of Meisner and like it worked, got submitted to auditions. So there's a lot of relatability that I have with my clients when I'm working with them on pretty much all the stuff that like made that I hated about the modeling, like creepy photographers and just like bad social interaction and like egos and all this stuff that I was exposed to that I didn't like. I had that planted in the back of my head. I'm working with people, but I didn't want to be a photographer at that point. It really didn't dawn on me until I was 24 years old. And I'm like, oh, you know, I can make a business of that. Like I could figure that out. It can't be that hard. And I bought a camera a week before Christmas and I just obsessed with it. I mean, for the first few months, I used to sleep with my camera and just mess with it and like just learn everything, study the manual. And then like January 7th, like 2 weeks, 3 weeks later, after I bought the camera, I scheduled like a total shady Craigslist free model shoot in my house. I was renting in New Jersey and I had used my basement. Dude, it was like the creepiest setup. So I had like people coming in from New York on a bus. I'd pick them up in my Corolla, bring them to my old house in the basement and take pictures of them. It was like really sketchy setup, but that's how we started. And I was just like 100 miles an hour with it too. Cause I also didn't have any backup. I wasn't in college and I didn't, you know, modeling in terms of a stable income and like where my heart was at. It wasn't like, I did it cause it was cool and exciting and sort of entrepreneurial, but there's a lot of things that were out of my control that I wanted to be able to control in terms of operating a business. So it was like, there was no plan B. I just had to make plan A work with this. And I really saw the light with it. Like it resonated that like I can make this work. So then I just became obsessive with it and turned it into what I have right now.
Well, you're too good. Answered all my questions. So I mean, we can just get into the good stuff. but please do tap on this for me before we move on. So you never really wanted to be in front of the camera, but it was modeling in a sense was your, I don't know, what do they say? Like leading with your skill to get you to where you want or leading with your top tier talent. So pre-photography, how long did that last?
Okay, so you're asking, so before I started my photo business.
Yes.
You're asking.
How long were you in front of the camera? How long did that last?
From 19 to about 25 years old. I crossed them over. Like I still, in the very beginning, I was still going on the castings and taking pictures. And then it reached probably maybe like 6 months, 8 months in, maybe even a year. It was like, I was seeing all my clients at a casting. I like the casting that I'm for. It's like, you know, it's like, I just take pictures of you. And then all of a sudden you and I are submitted for the same role.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm not doing this shit. Like,
peace. Okay.
Cool. Yeah. I mean, it's like, so to me, it just doesn't read well. It's like, dude, you just took my pictures. You just charged me money for my pictures. And now you're going to try to take a job from me. Like, I don't know. Like it was like a little, it didn't feel right to me. And I was really enjoying my photo business. So it was like, it was a nice natural progression, but it did take, you know, like anything you put your time into, there's a bit of ego involved. Like, am I ready to step away? I mean, every actor or model hits the crossroads. Like, should I step away from this? And it's tormenting. But I also had the photo thing lined up and it was going in, had positive momentum where it was the right thing. I don't have any regret doing it. In order to have a real strong desire to be in front of the camera, like, you know, a bit of doing the modeling for me, if I were to be brutally honest, like there's a bit of ego involved. Like it's cool to see yourself in an ad and like you feel famous and the money's good when you have it. So like, you know, but I'm so far past that In terms of like, I don't have an ego with that kind of stuff. It's not a popularity contest. I have nothing to prove in that regard. So I love what I'm doing now. So like, I don't have any regrets of like transitioning or anything like that at this point. Cause sometimes people ask me like, oh, why don't you still model? And I'm like, it's just not there. I'm not passionate about it. Like I refuse to do anything that I'm not fully into now. It just doesn't make sense to commit your energy into something that you don't love doing. Not that I didn't enjoy it, but I like what I'm doing more, and it's a fun thing for me. So why change it? You know, and I've done the other thing before too. If it was new and different, I'd be like, all right, let's give it a shot. Let's see what it's all about.
Yeah. You tapped on them already, but can you talk a little bit more about your eye as a photographer and then developing that, and if whether it was something that came easy to you or if it's something that you just developed over time, and cutting your teeth. I know you talked about it earlier in terms of being 24 and calling people down for your Craigslist ad. I find that so fascinating.
Yeah. So, okay. So the two questions were
cutting your teeth and photographer's eye. Your eye as a photographer, was it something that came easy to you, or is it something that you just developed over time?
Got it. And then how did I sort of cut my teeth as a photographer? Yeah. So in terms of like, I think anything in the arts, you have a natural, like clearly you have a natural ability as an actor, and you sing too, right? You're musical theater and you dance, right? You're the triple threat. So, I think anything within the arts, there's a certain natural ability and then you refine it. But I will say this, I could teach my skill set to just about anyone, which is where I'm transitioning now too. And I'm in the midst of going hardcore with it. I could teach anyone the skill set and the tools to do what I do. In terms of the artistic part, that's going to be a different starting point for everyone. For me, it was relatively, I thought it was not thoughtless, and not that I'm a prodigy by any means. There's like phenomenal artists out there in the photography realm, but it came easily for me. Like I didn't struggle. It just sort of clicked. But I was also obsessive at the same time. I think I have a natural artistic ability, but I'm not a 10, probably like a solid 6 or 7. Right. But like, the 8, 9, 10s are like light years ahead of me. You know, like that's
wait, a 6 in New York standards or a 6 in back home standards?
Oh no, I would say like in terms of like a true artistry, like people that like they can't even commute. Like there's certain artists I've worked with where they just see things a little different, but they don't function that well either. The communications isn't great. Like I would put those at 9s and 10s. I'm not that. Like I'm self-aware enough to be like, right, I'm not that, nor do I want to be, because I'd be lacking a lot of other things. But in terms, I would say like international, the best, like there are certain artists that are just different. And I'm not that, but I'm okay with that. And I do think my work output is very high quality, and I push the bounds constantly for myself with every session. Like I refuse to do the same ever. And, that's always on the forefront of my mind. I'm not trying to disregard my work, but it came naturally, easily. That part came pretty natural to me. I love the tech stuff. I love the gear stuff. So digital photography was just fun. It was like messing with gadgets all the time. And I was obsessive with it, you know, like, dude, I still put in 100-hour work weeks. And, I'm started in 2009. Like it's not, I don't have to do crazy work weeks, but I just love doing it. So if you meet what you're good at with what you love to do, then it just becomes a potent combination, because now your work's truly play and you're just constantly working. You're a workaholic, but it's like, dude, you're kind of living a dream life doing stuff you like to do. So, I mean, sometimes it's work, but by and large, it's pretty awesome to just kind of tinker. Like I'm always on doing homework and research on new equipment and gear, but like, that's not homework. It's just like, I love looking that shit up. In terms of cutting my teeth. Yeah. It's just like, put a gun to your head, have someone put a gun to your head and say, this has to work in the next 6 months. Like seriously.
Yeah.
I had $25,000 in credit debt. I was doing cash advance on a credit card to pay my rent, which is like a 30%. Like loan sharks have better interest rates than cash advance on. It was like 30% interest rate. It was like in a horrible position at the time. I had no backup funds. Not like I could go back home and, you know, ask for money. Like it was sink or swim. I was skipping meals to make ends meet. And so my mentality naturally is like, I'm a type A person. And it was really frustrating that I didn't have anything to attach this to, because I felt like I could be successful at something. I didn't know what. As soon as I dialed it into photography, it was like the floodgates opened. And then I was just a psycho with it. And I kind of still am in terms of my obsession with working sounds negative because it's not that, but being obsessive with a passion or a dream. And so I just put so much of my energy into it. Like someone needed a hair and makeup artist, dude. I was going down to like the local salon. I'm like, who wants to make a quick 100? It was like to like random hair, like artist, you know, like salon in a salon, like that was way out of my comfort zone to do stuff like that. But you have no other option. Like I got shit. Someone booked a hair and makeup artist tomorrow. I need to have a hair and makeup artist. Like where do you even start with that? If you're not even living in New York, I was in New Jersey. If you're in suburban, like where do you find a hair and makeup artist for a photo shoot? I don't know. I guess you just go to the haircut place. That's where I started. Like, I was like, that's the only place I know where people manage hair. So you just like, and then you kind of like, hey, do you know anyone that does makeup? And then they have a friend that did a friend's wedding. And then like, you just sort of develop it from there. Build your own lighting setups, trying different lighting setups. I cut my finger off down to the bone almost once. I just smashed my finger last 2 weeks ago.
I saw that photo.
I had my cousin engineer calculate the weight. It was 8,000 to 10,000 pounds, the equivalent to that fell on that damn finger. It hurt like that hurt. But my intensity keeps me going. Like I just stuff that pain back down and just continue working. Like it's just how I am. So it's how I operate with that level of intensity. And sometimes I have to dial it back, yeah. But I kind of enjoy it.
I mean, like that's what, well, it sounds.
And
like,
it's not the right way either.
Yeah.
That's not like, that's just my way to my small.
That's what
success.
Works for you.
That's what works for me. There are successful people. I have a friend that's a multimillionaire that his mentality is stop working so hard, just quit. And he works like an hour a week and like, I mean, crushes it. He's in a different business, but self-made. Mm-hmm. So I'm not, my way is not necessarily the right way. And also I'm learning to pull back too. You know, the whole work harder, not work smarter, not harder, but there's a time and place for being intense and obsessive. And there's a time to pull back. It's just smart to recognize that, but you don't want to go into vacation mode too soon. Like you really have to put in your time. You know it, dude, it's this no different photography, actor, even a model. It's the same musician, dancer, it's the same hustle. It's no different. And you're doing it in New York City, the most competitive market in the world. The best of the best of the best.
You know, Billy Porter says it best, you know, don't ask for permission to practice your art. And I feel as though there are some mediums in our business that are easier to do that than other, that don't necessarily require the assistance of someone else. I know definitely being a dancer is one, and like it doesn't take much to like give yourself a bar class or to stretch and just stay warm and limber. And I know during this time in the world, I'm not gonna lie, it's not been a priority for me. So like it's been lacking and like falling out of double turns. Corbin. But you know, it's like if you don't use that skill on a regular basis, like you will lose it.
But you're pivoting too. Like, so there's a difference. This is only through my experience. I'm not saying this is the only way or the right way, but through my experience, I found like there's a time you keep, like here's the wall, and there's time you push it. And then there's a time where it's like, okay, let me just renavigate. Yeah. And like, I think you did a really smart pivot. Like you've got a podcast started. I looked at your email. You have a production company title. So like, it's not like you sat on your ass.
No.
I would say you actually made a development move. Yeah. And the reality too, as a dancer, is you can't dance forever. There's a shelf life to that. Yeah. And so why wait until you're totally on your ass wondering, what am I doing with my life? Like now's the time. This is couldn't be a better time than ever to start a podcast production company and just adapt. It's nothing's worse. It's just different.
Yeah.
So the faster you adapt to a new environment, the faster you're going to thrive above others. Like no excuse making. It's just different. things change. So just adapt with it. There's wrong. Always room to thrive. So it's to my point though, like I wouldn't, that you're my, at least my outside perspective looking at you, I would say you're making gains, like big gains too, because you're really formulating like plan two of your career.
Yeah.
First part was like education, becoming an actor. And I'm not saying that you're not that still and that you're not going to audition, but it's really smart to develop that next phase too.
Well, I know just, and as you just said, I know it, dancing, it has a shelf life and it's not going to last forever. And, you know, before this thing was supposed to start, I was supposed to be in boot camp for a Broadway show, which was really amazing. And then the pandemic hit. And then I had slowly transitioned this last year and a half to doing more film and television. I was so excited to like really take off, but theater had been such a huge part. And because now that theater's on hold, I had a conversation with my agent about it. And he was like, it's time to get back to the film and TV and like, you need to come back. So I definitely look forward to early next year coming back and riding that wave. So that'll be really fun and exciting, but enough about me. We'll get back into it. Cause you and I could talk for days. let me see this. So this one, so this part of the interview goes out to actors. And let me start with this. Let's say that you're still an actor and you're still a model. Let me ask you this.
Yep.
How would you business in show business? I.e., what lesson was your saving grace?
So I would say not specialize in, but my focus at the time was modeling. So I know more about the modeling than the acting. However, having worked with actors for over, you know, decades and, my ex was a Broadway actress, so I have a pretty good understanding of that business. I would say if you're starting off, and this is really removing myself from being a photographer. I truly don't have much of an ego when it comes to this because the foundation of how I operate is to like from a business perspective. So I would say number one, now more than ever, get really strong shots to rep yourself. If you're an actor, headshots. You shoot with me or another great photographer. There's some really good photographers everywhere. Find one that you resonate with and get amazing shots because the first thing, especially with online submissions, when they're scrolling through, and I've had this discussion with casting agents and managers and agents, is the picture. That's the first thing they're going to look at, whether they're scouting new talent or auditions. So it's really important that you have a strong online presentation, meaning your headshot. That's the one thing. And then the other thing is I would say control the things that you can control. As an actor, you can control the quality of your headshot, your reel. If you don't have content, find some like monologues that like resonate with you and like blow them out of the freaking water. Like get amazing stuff on camera. You do not need the best light. You do not need the best audio is, I would say, decent audio, but if anything with an iPhone is good enough. And if you have quality, if you have real talent, it'll be discovered immediately. I had an agent show me a kid, young kid that had like the crappiest self-tape audition. And the kid was really good. And now he's on a big network as a principal. And it was very obvious that he was good. Putting things off to like, oh, I got to wait till I get the best lighting kit, this and that. Like, those are just excuses. Just like, find something that resonates with you and just crush it. Get it on tape. It's the best time now to be doing this stuff while you're home. But I would say control things you control, your headshot, your resume, your website. And then you have those things together. I'll put all your energy towards finding a good agent or manager. It makes the world of difference. That's a job title for a reason. They're going to help you if they're good, get you seen, get kind of book the big stuff. It's not always a requirement, but it certainly is helpful. If it were me, I would say, put a check mark next to your headshot, put together a reel or resume and a website, and then start contacting agents. Call sheet off of, you know, you can download call sheet from backstage.com and it's like 10 bucks for that PDF. And it's like it's the list of every agent manager in every state, like get on that ASAP. And I would put all my energy towards that. Get representation that fits you well and will help and work with you. Like you want to build your little team.
Yeah.
Big agencies don't necessarily mean that's the solution either. Big agencies sound great. It's exciting when you're part of them. And then all of a sudden, you know, you may not hear from them. So just because it's a big agency doesn't necessarily mean anything. You want someone that you have a good communication with. It's all about having an open dialogue and good communication. And of course, that they're a professional and have good contacts. But that's what I would do. If I were a model, I would say go towards the commercial print direction, lifestyle market. And I would say get one or two agents per state. Don't do more than that. Agents don't like that. If you're with five agencies in the same, in like New York, you're going to hang your yourself doing that. They're all going to cut you loose. But get one or two per state. And I would diversify your portfolio, meaning get a lot of agents working for you, get really powerhouse shots from test shoots, and start submitting to agencies and sort of build that machine. Because once you build that machine, it just works for you. Then all the outside agencies, and especially even in New York now, are just direct bookings. They'll call you, hey, Corbin, are you available next week for a booking? Pays $2,500, yes or no. And it can be a really nice thing. So the lifestyle print modeling, build that machine, get amazing shots, get representation, meaning agents in all different states, and stay in the lifestyle commercial arena. If you want my input, I've worked fashion too. There's no money in it and it's high stress. So for the most part, and build that machine and let those things work for you.
If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to subscribe so you're notified when a new episode is posted. Rate and review this podcast, and be sure to share with your friends. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you on next week's episode of How to Business in Show Business.